I'm going to play with the scriptures, and then I'm going to take them kind of in reverse order. This is out of the gospel lesson. You recall that the man said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." That seems reasonable. He's going to follow Jesus, but let him go take care of his papa first. It seemed like a compassionate thing to do. But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Seems contradictory as we understand Jesus, but we have to understand something about the Jewish tradition. This man, his father, may have been quite well, quite healthy. And the rule in the Jewish society would be to honor your mother and father and stay with them and support them and live with them. And then all of the traditions that go around when his father had passed. So there was a huge obligation from his Jewish tradition. And Jesus is referring to the Jews and their following, "Let the dead bury their own dead." So it is a challenge to him, and saying, although this being Jewish was a complete way of life, following Jesus' discipleship means putting that before all other things. The Jewish people had very high boundaries, and that was important, and it helped establish them and keep them during a period of time when they were scattered. They were in diaspora around the Mediterranean. They had no place that was home, but their rules and their rigorous ways of doing things helped them maintain their order and their identity. It was a complete way of life. You ate special foods, you wore special clothes, you prayed at specific times, you fasted at specific times. All of those rules and all of those boundaries organized your lives. And those high boundaries, and there's nothing wrong with high boundaries, they were necessary at a point in time. I have a grandson. You've heard about Ryer. And my daughter, Sarah, is, if nothing, compulsive, obsessive. So she has been she was ready for his birth probably years before they even began to conceive. And their house was, of course, childproofed with the very best ways of being childproof. If Ryer came to my home, we would have to chain him to something in the middle of a room because there's nothing in my house that is childproof today. I'm just not prepared for that. Are you prepared for that? When I was a young kiddo, my dad built onto our house. And he had power tools and he had all the things to do all that work. We are living in rural Colorado, Western Slope, Parachute, which was Grand Valley then. Had a farm, we had a barn, we had cows, we had horses, we had hay fields, we had all of these things. And so there were rules. My brother and I were grade school and younger. And one of the rules is don't play with matches. Don't play with matches. You can understand how deadly that would be with a barn, with haystacks, with fields. I am sometimes astonished that, as I think back about our history, about kerosene lanterns and how more people, how they were able to survive. They must have been very vigilant with their children, is all I can imagine. But such dangerous things. And so one of the rules that was drilled into, they must have known me pretty well. They said, "Don't play with matches," very seriously to me. So it was one day that I discovered my brother had gotten a whole box of wooden matches and it had lined them up in the dirt and gotten them close enough so that when you light one, it would light the next one, then it would light the next one. And he had made these decorations in the dirt with the matches. I was absolutely freaked out. I ran to my parents. I thought it was the end of the world. My brother was playing with matches. Well, I didn't see what happened as they engaged him. They did that separate from me. But he survived the event, which startled me immensely. I thought for sure it was the end of the world for him. But it was years later when we were at his house in Evergreen. He and his children were there and my children and I. He was the one lighting all the firecrackers. And I thought, well, now it's okay for him to play with matches. This is something about how it is at different points in our lives. We're able to do some things and not at other times. It is a growth. And Jesus is moving us beyond that time of living in a house that is childproof, that with battlements built around it. That's where the title of my sermon came from. We have walls to keep out dangerous things and to keep us in a safe condition. And so those rules and those barriers and those walls have to come down. And that's what Jesus is saying. The second point, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It's an odd statement. Here's a young man who was willing to set aside his life and follow him, to become one of the disciples, to dedicate his life. It seems like a worthy goal. Jesus does not seem at all encouraging. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is that being a part of the followers of Jesus might become being part of a tribe. Becoming part of a tribe. Do you know what being part of a tribe means? Being part of a tribe might mean, for example, trying to think of something that's not right in the central in the spotlight right now. If you might belong to the group of people that believe very, very seriously that toilet paper on a roll has to come off the front. The correct way for toilet paper is that you can brush your hand down it and it will roll and the toilet paper will unspool in that direction. Some people put it on the other way around. They're not in the tribe. They are just wrong. They're absolutely, there's no way that you should ever load the toilet paper backwards. You understand, you either belong to the tribe or you don't. A gal came up to me and she said, "Do you have cats?" She puts her toilet paper on facing in. So all of a sudden the tribe and its purpose and all that's, that's another story. But we belong to tribes. We belong to tribes around guns, around health, around nationality, around language. We belong to tribes about politics. And some of those tribes are growing stronger with higher boundaries and with greater division in our world. And there's a danger, and we heard some of that in when we hear some of these others who are preaching in Jesus' name. And the disciples, they're part of the tribe, and this other person isn't. They should make this person stop. And what does Jesus say to them? Whoever is not against us is for us. He breaks down the walls of the tribe all of a sudden, and the tribe isn't simply the disciples. One of the things that defines them has evaporated. There are no tribes that are acceptable if we are disciples. We are disciples first and foremost and centrally. So this man who was going to follow Jesus, there's a danger to becoming one of the disciples in that tribe. He can already feel how some of them are pretty exclusive, ruling out others who aren't exactly with them. But the second thing is a little bit of foreshadowing. The tribe, the disciples, all of the following is about to be broken up, isn't it? Jesus is no longer going to become the leader, no longer going to be able to lead them in person because he is traveling to Jerusalem. He's about to depart from the group, and the group itself, whose identity and tribal nature has been centered around following and being the one who listens to the master teacher, all of that following will now change. The disciples must have struggled with that hugely. After Jesus' death, what do we do now? No longer are they listening and learning, but now they have to go out into the world and offer what they've learned and teach and model and be those disciples. It's not going to be easy going out into the world. It's not going to be easy going out there and knowing what's right and what's wrong. They ask question after question of Jesus, and he tries to give them answers and directions. We all struggle with that. What's the right thing to do? I shouldn't say that. I can't speak for you, but I know I struggle for a lot of things. What's the right way to be in this situation? What's the right way to be about, opinion-wise, in something that's controversial? There was a place and time when gambling was absolutely forbidden. There was a place and time when music in the church was not allowed. There was a time when card playing in the church was not allowed. And all of those things, we begin to ask what's right and what's wrong and what isn't. we are not alone, although Jesus has departed and been able. We can't just say, Lord, is it okay to play cards in church? Is it okay to serve devil food cake at a church luncheon? That's a joke. How do we have those questions answered? How do we resolve difficult things? We are not alone. John Wesley said we have reason, we have experience, we have scripture, and we have tradition. There is a danger that we can become a tribe that is centered around tradition, and we hold on to what always was without being able to see that Christ's ministry in the world continues to evolve daily and grow and lead us and lead others. So how are we to be? The last piece of the piece that Jesus said as he was gathering is, on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Jesus, who did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? You're either with our tribe or you're out, and you're totally unworthy. You're to be consumed by fire. They were already locked in that tribe. Do you understand what had happened? You're with us or you're against us. And that's when he responded to them. No, this isn't how it works. All the world is our tribe. They can be there, they can not accept us, but if they're not against us, they're for us. So tribalism, that's really the core of what my sermon is about. As we fall back into our tribes, as we fall back into our groups that we're comfortable with, and where if you are a part of the tribe, you all have to agree together, and all of you have to agree with all the points of the tribe, and you become constricted, and you become owned by the tribe. There is no tribe that we can acknowledge if Christ is leading us first and foremost. All those others, we might have opinions, we might gather with groups, we might even have people with whom we share common ideals. But Jesus and our allegiance and our discipleship belong there first. Is that what Paul was talking about in Galatians? If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. It is that tribal nature. Our annual conference was 2 weeks ago, kind of fitting in there and all of that, and the theme was At This Table. And at this table, referring, of course, to Christ's table, are all people of different tribes, but those tribes must be left, and the Christ table must be first. It's not an easy journey. Jesus never said it would be. But he is with us in the journey. Amen? Amen.